Well, look, I want to tell you, I'm going to use the title of an old song that we used to sing every single Sunday night, I think. From the 60s on, we would sing, "He's an on-time God. Yes, he is." Y'all remember that? "He is an on-time God. Yes, he is." Listen to this part. We don't like this. "He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. Because he's an on-time God. Yes, he is." Somebody say, "Yes, he is." So that's what I'm going to title this message, so you can find it on the website. He's an on-time God. All right, turn your Bibles if you have one. If you have your phone, use it for the Word. Don't be texting somebody and acting like you're looking up the Word. Come on, let's go over to Zechariah. Way toward the back of the Old Testament. Let me say, Jamie and Bobby, so honored to have you in the house today. And JoJo and Joe. JoJo's fine. Tanya, your son. Teddy, God bless you, honey. Teddy's another one that we've watched just be a rock, going through breast cancer and everything else. And, you know, little tumor. You know, and just watching the glory of God on her. All right, you got Zechariah? Look at this. We'll read chapter 1, verse 18. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 18. By the way, this is the prophet Zechariah seeing a vision. In fact, he sees two visions right here back to back. Verse 18, it says, "Then I raised my eyes, and I looked, and there were four horns. And I said to the angel who talked with me, 'What are these?' And so he answered me, and he said, 'Oh, these are the horns that have scattered Judah and Israel and Jerusalem.' Then the Lord showed me four craftsmen." The old King James says he showed me four carpenters. And I think I'll use the word carpenters today, which are craftsmen. And then he showed me how many? Four craftsmen. And I said, "What are these coming to do?" And so he said, "These are the horns that scattered Judah, so that no one could lift up his head, but the craftsmen," or the carpenters, "are coming to terrify them, to cast out the horns of the nation that lifted up their horn against the land of Judah to scatter it." Lord, help me with this message today. Help me say what you want me to say in Jesus' name. Well, the prophet first sees four horns. Now get this. He saw four horns, but he didn't see an animal attached to those horns. He didn't see the animal's face. Didn't see what kind of animal it was. Some of the Bible scholars say, well, this is Persia and Media and names all the nations. Well, I'm going to pull it into the text that I think the Holy Spirit would have me say tonight to bring it home to us. Because we need help in America. Somebody say amen. We need help in the church. We need help in our own lives, in our families, in our marriages. We just plain old need help. And so he says, notice that he says two different things. The prophet says two different questions about the horns. He said, "Well, what are these?" He says to the angel, "What are they?" And then when he saw the carpenters, he said, "What are they coming to do? Why are they here?" And when he speaks about those horns, he says that, "Oh, these are the horns that scattered my people. They scattered Jerusalem and Judea and Israel," or Judah and Israel. "They hate them. And they're always coming after them." And then it goes a bit farther, talking about how that they have literally scattered his people, almost taken Jerusalem out, and that they have taken down the mightiest of men and the strongest of men. These horns were totally from the pit of hell. I mean, they were just mean and angry and hate, full of hate, full of hate. And horns are always a symbol of great power. Now, when we used to live on the cattle ranch, we had 10 bulls that fought for the rulership or the authority over all the cows that were out there. And over all that acreage, those 10 bulls would fight. And the girls and I would go out and we would watch when two bulls would get in a fight, and they would always bang heads to go for the horns. And we've seen them break those horns, and those old horns that stood up would just fall down. It was a pitiful sight. And you would just see the horns falling down on their face, kind of rounded like this, and just blood just dripping down. And that old bull would just walk away. And so when we know and understand that horns are symbolic of strength, we have seen that in the natural. But God is speaking to the prophet when he asks the questions, what are these? Oh, these are bad guys. And then immediately, he said, they've oppressed my people. And I'll tell you, they have come from the four corners of the earth. You say, well, the earth is round. It has no corners. Well, if you're sitting where God sits, he sees the whole deal, okay? He sees the globe. So he knows there's a north and a south and an east and a west. And so he says, they come from all over to afflict the people. But he only mentions there were four horns. So that's how we know that they were supernatural horns from Satan himself that comes to destroy. He wants to destroy everything that he can. Because John 10:10 says Satan comes for one reason. He comes to kill and what? Steal and do what else? Destroy. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to kill. He wants to steal any kind of peace that you may have in your mind. He doesn't want anyone having any joy or peace of mind, my goodness. And so he sends these horns out to visit the home and the workplace and the church. Ooh, churches have been torn down by these horns just slipping through the door and doing as they please. I'm going to tell you, I've said this from the time we started this at church. We are not running a nursery in here. We are not running junior church. They have that out there at Kids World. We are running an adult church. And we have order. God had order in the universe. And there's a lot of things that have happened over the years in the body of Christ, just like it does out in the world. It's happened. But I'm telling you, men and women, we better guard what we have in our life. You better guard that anointing on you. You better guard the love and the strength that you have for Jesus. And men, you better guard your marriage. You better guard your home. You are the priest of that home. We better guard our children and our grandchildren and pray for them. I mean, when they get older, they're on their own, baby. They just do whatever. You know, they'll leave your house. You don't know. But I'm telling you right now, there's something you can do that is so powerful. And you pray the house down. And you keep praying and you see what the Lord does. But now, sometimes we know that we don't always get everything we ask. But when you don't know that God said, I have a better way. I have a better way, and I know how to take care of things. But I'll just say, he's still after the church. He's still after anyone that has any love for God in them. So the prophet sees another vision. And in verse 20, it says, then the Lord showed me four carpenters. craftsmen. I saw four of them. Now, isn't it amazing? He didn't show him the carpenters first. He showed him the horns first. You know what? The horns, Joe. The horns always come first. And then the carpenters come. Always. I almost, Niles, Roman, Greg's not here. I didn't know if he'd be here, but some of you carpenters almost got called. I know you're not carpenters yourself, but they run a bunch of carpenters under them. I almost asked them to wear their garb. You know, they'd probably have to go buy one, being the boss, you know. Go buy it, put the tools in it, bring a hammer, bring a saw, bring this, bring that. But you know what a carpenter is. So he said, now I see four carpenters. And then he says, well, what are these coming to do? Somehow, when those guys had their tools on their belt, their tools in their hand, Zechariah recognized them as helpers. And he said, these are carpenters. Well, what are they here to do? He could tell they were ready to go to work. What are they going to do? He said, what are these coming to do? Verse 21. Keep these scriptures up so they can just refer back to it. I said, what are these coming to do? And so he said, oh, these are the horns. Now he goes back. He wants to talk about the horns first. Okay, he's going to answer the prophet's question, but he says, let me talk about the horns first. Oh, he said, these are the horns that scattered Judah. He repeats that again. Scattered Judah so that no one could lift up his head. I mean, listen, it got so bad in the days of God's people in the church, they just all walked around like this. And he said, they just put their head down. No one could even lift up their head. Have you ever, y'all, we've all been there. I don't have to ask you if you've been there. There's been times when you've been hit so hard with a horn. If you're not careful, you'll do this. Now look, we all get here. There's nothing wrong with getting down. But you need to either be up or getting up. So always just be getting up. If you go down quickly, get up because you'll stay there too long. So he says, oh, these guys couldn't even lift up their head. But the carpenters, he answers, here's why the carpenters came. Do you see that? But the craftsmen are coming to terrify them. Terrify who? Terrify the horns. Terrify the enemy. They are here. They are going to cast out those horns out of the nation. Four? You mean four carpenters are going to do this? Four. There were four horns, and now there's four supernatural carpenters. These guys are mighty through God to the pulling down of any stronghold that those horns could build up. And it said it will not be very long. They are coming to terrify them and cast them out. Those that lifted up their horn against the land of Judah to scatter it. I mean, since he just scattered them, and from the look of these empty seats, it looks to me like that horn scattered some folks. Just scattered them. COVID was a good excuse. But there's been a great falling away from the body of Christ. And a great pouring out is coming at the same time. The book of Joel said, I will bring the former rain and the latter rain in the same month. We will see it in the same month. Say, well, you know it should already be happening. Well, who are you to tell God when it should happen? We don't know when it should happen. It might kill us if it came in now. All I know, it's going to be glorious. And those carpenters, folks, are surely coming to America. Anytime you do what ignorant people have risen up to do with no shame, and they can declare abortion after a baby is born, how could you be that dumb and still breathe? God, there's so many things that they've thought to change the laws. He said, those horns have scattered, but these carpenters, they're coming and this is what they're going to do. And I want to tell you this morning, God always has the right people at the right time. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. He's an on-time God. And He said, these carpenters, to Zechariah, said, you know what these carpenters are going to do? They are going to terrify them. Lori, can you grasp? Those carpenters coming down into the nations, into America, and terrifying these people? They'll be terrified? We can't even hardly grasp that. The one that has tried to come and tear up your home, your life, your mental condition. I can see the things happening now, and some people have paid the price to see what God is going to do, but He's sending these carpenters, and they'll be right on time. If you will stay put, and you will hold fast, and you will trust God, and you will stay faithful to Him, just wait and see that the one that has tried to terrify your home will turn and run as fast as it can run and not even know what it's running from. But that's because you said, God, send a carpenter to me. I need somebody to rebuild this thing. It's got to be rebuilt. It's got to be remodeled. Walked into Tanya and Niles home the other day, and of course Teddy was there, took some food over, and when I walked in, Niles, the builder, the carpenter, he realized that kitchen wasn't big enough. So he said, so here's what we did. He said, you know, that sink used to be there, and now it's here, and we put in this bar, and we took out that wall, we put this wall in. I mean, it was a big old deal. I said, Niles, I can't even think that way. You men, you just see things. I said, I can't even think that way. But see, a carpenter does. And you don't know what you're going to do about the mess. But the carpenter does. And he will say, just let me at it. Just let me at him. You don't know when, you don't know how. You may not even see it in the natural until it's over. You know, it's kind of like a tornado hits and you can't see. I mean, you can see the funnel or the funnel twisting around the tornado. And you can see, you can't actually see the wind, but you see where it's been and where it's going. And I'll tell you, when the carpenter visits your house or your home or your church, we will see where it has been and where it is going. And all of a sudden, you're going to stop. You're going to say, oh my goodness. I believe things have changed in the last 2 weeks. What? There has been some kind of change, and I don't even know if I did anything different because of the carpenter showed up. See, the Bible calls Jesus, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, calls Him the carpenter's son. Some say He was a carpenter too, but I believe He's the ultimate carpenter, and He's got many. These could be angelic beings. I don't know, but they certainly do things. Let me tell you. Can I tell you a quick story real quick? This was to our family surprise. My oldest sister has a daughter. She's married to a wonderful man. He's a carpenter. Actually, he's a contractor. Makes him a good living. Well, she's always loved a fancy, nice car like her daddy. So she wanted to spend her own money, buy her own wheels, make her own stereo thump, and do all the things her husband didn't care about. So then her daddy always drove a truck for the state of California for the prison system, made a good living. So she decides, I'm going to buy a truck. So she goes to trucking school, becomes a trucker. And so she comes home, she goes out. She called me yesterday, Linda. This was the most amazing story. I'll try to be short. So she's out driving up from Washington State up into British Columbia, toward between British Columbia and Canada. And while she doesn't realize, now, I hate to tell you this because you're going to say, what? What kind of trucker would do that? She ran out of diesel. Okay, you say it's a girl thing. Well, it could be. But anyway, she was up there, but she didn't realize that this was a 120-mile stretch without any stations or anything or any assistance. There were no restaurants, no hotels, nothing. 120 miles. It's snowing. And the snow is up here. She already had the chains on the truck, on the tires. And she said, I am not kidding you. When that truck ran out of gas, she said, it just plain stopped. And when it stopped, it turned like this across the snowy road. I mean, it just turned. And she said it took up both sides of the road, but you couldn't see it anyway because snow was all over the place. So she says she got out and listened to see if she could hear any cars coming either way, and there was nothing. And from the looks of things, there had been no tracks of any car. Suddenly, here comes a car. It's a woman. And a woman's driving very slowly through, but she's familiar with snow driving. And so she pulls over and says to my niece, do you need a ride? And she said, yes, I do. Well, I thought, well, that was pretty crazy, too, just riding with someone you don't know. But what are you going to do? So she gets to the car, gets these cans to get the diesel, gets in her car. She takes her to a station 60 miles up the road, 60 miles. She'd gone halfway. So 60 miles, she gets up there, gets to the station, and there was a man there. So the lady drops her off. And there was a man there, and he hears her telling the story, and he says, ma'am, do you need a ride back to the truck? He says, I'm going that way. She said, yes, I do. Well, that was the third crazy thing. She took a ride with a man she didn't know, and so they put the cans in the car, and they head on 60 miles back. She's telling him, sir, it's 60 miles. I don't care. I'm going that way. So she offered to pay for his diesel. No. You're already, you got a mess. I'm going to take that. And she said when she got back, this girl was, I'm telling you, she was praising God. She got back to that snowy road, and she said she had left the hood up. She left the hood up so somebody would know there was trouble, and she left the keys in the truck. That's a whole bunch of bad things. So I might tell her husband someday. But anyway, when she gets back to the truck, guess what? That truck, instead of being like this across the whole road, it was just like this, lined up, right where it should be, close to the shoulder. The hood was down. It was latched. She raises it up. It had already been primed. She said, boy, when a diesel runs out of fuel, you're in big trouble. So she said it had already been all fixed up. It had been primed, and it had a quarter of a tank of gas. And she said, I just got in it and took off. Drove 60 miles, got up that little station and filled up. She said, what do you think that is? I said, honey, I don't know. Wow. I said, maybe another trucker, that really knew what he was doing. He just jumped there and did it. She said, but there were no tracks where he pulled it back and it had stopped snowing. The snow was up to here, but there were no tracks of anything. Well, after studying this, it could have been a carpenter. I don't know if carpenters know how to drive trucks, Roman, but maybe. So anyway, he's an on-time God. If you trust him, and it's not only when you're in a tight spot, he just always is. I mean, he's just always there for us. So the carpenters, he said, they came to terrify these guys and cast them out. How many of you just like to see some things cast out? They've got to be cast out and gone. And remember this. There were four horns and there were four carpenters. There's always enough. Always enough. And when it looks like the horns are going to take over, you better back it up and know that the carpenter is on his way. And he'll take you through. Amen. Glory to God. Notice, I want to say, I'm sorry, Sal, but he didn't send you. He's a painter. He didn't send a painter. He didn't send an architect. He sent a carpenter that knew how to do the rough stuff. He knew how to get it done. He always has the right man for the job. We have no idea who we're going to call, what we're going to do. But he says, I know what I'm doing. Trust me. Have faith in me and watch. Now, when the horns increase and begin to trouble you and begin to tear you up inside. How many have just ever been tore up from the floor up in your mind? And your, I don't know, you just get messed with. And then the Bible, you know, you'll turn over the book of Psalms, find something good to read, and it'll say, fret not. And you're like, really? Too late. I already have. Already doing it. Said, don't fret. But I'll tell you, those four horns are working overtime right now in America. They're working hard in the church. They're causing many to begin to fall away and get weak. And rattling the hope and the strength and the trust of people. We're like, we don't even know what's going on. We don't know who to believe anymore. We don't even know what they're telling us. Is this true or not? But I'm going to read you something that Paul said. Kathy, if you can pull up Philippians 1, 27, 28. Philippians 1, 27, 28. I'm going to wait for it. You can turn, but I want you to see it. Only let your conversation, this is 1, 27, 28. You have it? Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you, or whether I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs. That you stand fast in one spirit and in one mind. And that's what I see you guys do. You go through stuff, but I see you standing like so tall. You're like, how do, only by him. So you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And look at this next word. And not in any way, say that word, terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you it's a salvation, and that is from God. So you say, well, what's proof of perdition? When you're not terrified, it shows them that they're just getting ready for judgment. That's what perdition means. They're just getting ready for judgment. They know that the carpenter is coming against them to cast them out and terrify them. So then for you it's salvation. For them it's terrifying. Now, I'm closing here. But God has an ambush for every situation. Now, it may not be like you want it done, and it may not be when you want it, but it'll be right on time. And folks, the battle belongs to the Lord. And every one of us in this house are a battle axe. And I don't mean an old battle axe. Turn over to Jeremiah. Let me close with this. You got to see it because it's so powerful. You know, if we grabbed a hold of what I'm about to read you, it would change our lives. Forever and ever and ever. It has changed my life so many times. And those of you that I've taught this before, it's changed your life. But I haven't brought this up in a long, long time. But it just fits right here. Look what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah and them were having the same problem with the horns that Zechariah had. But I want you to see what God has spoken. Jeremiah 51, verse 20. Kathy, are we reading from New King James today? Look what God says. You are my what? Say it. Oh, no, we're not there yet. All right, I want you to get over there. Jeremiah 51, 24. Okay. I'm sorry, 20. I had it underlined. That's all right. I'm sorry about that, Kathy. I just made you look bad, didn't I? All right. You are my what? And weapons of what? He says that's what you are. And with you, I will do this with you. I will break the nation in pieces. And with you, I will destroy kingdoms that are trying to raise up. And with you, I will break in pieces the horse and its rider that's riding against you. With you, I will break in pieces the chariot and its rider. Where did we see that before? With Moses, the chariots, the people went through, the people of Egypt went through. But what did he do? He let the water, the Red Sea, closed upon the chariots and the riders, or upon the enemy Pharaoh. Verse 22, with you I will break in pieces a man and a woman. Some of you are crying maybe about who your son or daughter's dating. Sarah, you have no idea, honey. If she's dating someone, I thought, ooh, dude. I just start praying. I said, Lord, you said I could break the pieces of man and woman. And she got to old Boaz, and I stuck. With you, I will break in pieces the old and the young. And with you, I will break in pieces the young man and the maiden. With you, also, I will break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. With you, I will break in pieces the farmer and his yoke of oxen. And with you, I will break in pieces governors and rulers and presidents and queens and kings and all that I need to do. I will repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea for all the evil they have done in Zion in your sight, says the Lord. He said, I'll just know how to take care of it. And I know we have the carpenters. But we also were a battle axe in God's hand. And he said, if you'll pray and talk to me, you can take care of it in Jesus' name. You can just deal with it. And how is that done? It's just through prayer. That's too good to be true. Try it. It's just words coming out of your mouth to God. Did I say I was closing? I am. After this. Zechariah 2. Verse 1, then I raised my eyes and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring stick in his hand. So I said, where are you going? This prophet sure was nosy. Where are you going? And he said to me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what it is, what its width is and what its length. And there was the angel who talked with me going out, and the other angel was coming in to meet him. And said to him, run! Speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls because of the multitude of men and livestock in it. Listen to this part. For I, says the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. Now we saw that. Old Jerusalem has a wall all the way around it. The New Jerusalem doesn't. It's almost 2,000 years old now. But there's no wall around it. In 70 years, it has blossomed into an awesome place, just like God said it would. If God says it, you can write it down. When God said what I just read to you, write it down. Hallelujah. How many want to be a battle axe in his hand? How many know we need the four carpenters? Stand on your feet with me. Father, thank you for this beautiful Sunday in January, our second Sunday in 2023. Lord, we are grateful for all that you did for us in 2022. You were absolutely gracious, blessed us and kept us, and so will you bless us and keep us now. And so, Lord, maybe there's one in the house this morning that says, Pastor Paulette, boy, do I need help. I need those four carpenters. I'm going to tell you, if you'll just lose your faith right now, you can have it sitting right there where you are. Come on. I received that word. You know, we just need to get a hold, and when we hear words like this spoken, we need to grasp it and take it into our very heart and believe. That's all we have to do is believe. Believe the word of God. So, Lord, we take this word into us today. And I'm the pastor. And there are many pastors in America and around the world, and we're concerned over the body of Christ. We see things that sometimes the sheep don't see, but I believe it's not hidden anymore. Everyone sees it. And Lord, there's mothers and dads here today that are very concerned about their family. They're concerned about their businesses and what they're going to do and their retirement. There's people concerned about their jobs and their babies, grandchildren. But Lord, you're not, because you know. So Lord, we're going to lift this up. Would you just lift it up to him today? Just give it to him, Mike. Just give it to him. Lord, that horn that has come against your house, the horn that comes against the families, the marriages, our minds, our souls, our spirits, you will devour those horns. You said, I'll cast them out. I will cast them out. I will terrify them. They're to be terrified. If you want prayer this morning, you say, Pastor Paulette, I am on the brink of just, I can't take one more thing. I just can't take one more thing. This thing's coming at me from all four corners. My God, help us, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Okay, well, Father, look at your people. Look at your people. Everybody has something, and I know that. But I'm also with a group of people that's learned how to be a battle axe in your hand, that knows how to pray. And so with that, Lord, we give you praise and we give you thanks that you have strengthened us. You'll empower us. And the carpenters will come just in time. And Lord, I thank you that you will cascade like a big waterfall. Your love, your empowerment, your goodness, your kindness, and your mercy and grace, let it cascade over us even right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can we sing, He's an on-time God? I think we're in C. Yes, He is. He is an on-time God. Yes, He is. If you don't know it, it's all right. He may not come when you want Him, but He will be there right on time. Yes, He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Come on, let's sing it one more time to ourselves. Now He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. He is an on-time God. Yes, He is. He may not come just when you want Him, but He'll be there right on time. Yes, He's an on-time God. Could you jump on the drums real quick? All right, let's say it so the devil can hear it and the angels can hear it. Lift your voices. He is an on-time God. Yes, He is. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. See, He may not come when you want Him, but He'll be there right on time. Cause he's an on-time God.
Yes, he is.
Let's just sing it just because one more time. He is an on-time God.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he's an on-time God.
Yes, he is.
He may not come when you want him, but he will be there right on time. Yes, he's an on-time God.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Huh? And I don't care if the devil don't like it. I don't care if the devil don't like it. We don't care if the devil don't like it. And I don't care if the devil don't like it. I got an attitude. I hate sickness. Come on, say it.
I got an attitude. I hate sickness.
I got an attitude. I love him.
I got an attitude.
I hate sickness. Well, if we get an attitude, make sure you got an attitude for the right thing. Amen? Don't you forget he's an on-time God. And he's got four carpenters to come against those four horns. And don't you ever forget it. The Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and bless your home, your life, your mind, your money, your work. May he prosper you, keep you safe from all harm and all danger. And may he turn his countenance towards you and shine upon you. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for being here today. I love you. And we'll be telling you more about services coming up.